Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by A Wrestling Historian. Follow A Wrestling Historian on Instagram for your latest dose of pro wrestling history. Follow A Wrestling Historian on Instagram today. Follow A Wrestling Historian on Instagram today.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
What's up, guys? It's the phenomenal AJ Styles. You're listening to the two-man power trip.
Hey, Johnny. Cool, man. What's going on? We ready to go or what?
Hello and welcome to the latest podcast. I am your host, JP John Paz. With me, of course, the former WWF and WCW head writer, the man that was the former WCW World Heavyweight Champion, Mr. Vince Russo. Vince, welcome back. How you doing?
What is going on, John? How you doing, my friend?
Doing good. Just a quick question. I don't know how you're going to take it, good or bad, but I had a buddy of mine ask me, and he said, you have to ask Russo. Is he now booking for AEW?
Oh,
that's what he wants to know.
Bro, you know, it's funny that you bring that up, John, because, bro, could you imagine if I would have played that footage? Could you imagine, bro?
Yep.
Can you imagine if that were me?
Oof, they'd never forgive you.
Oh, my God. And here's the thing I don't understand, John. This is like my biggest issue with it. Bro. Everything that was on the tape, Punk laid that out verbatim. The exact way it happened is the way Punk said it. So, like, my takeaway from that was, well, bro, if he was telling the truth about that, then he was telling the truth about everything in the interview. That bro, I'm telling you, that's my biggest issue with it. If there was some really, you know, hard evidence against Punk, like, that's one thing. But my God, bro, you showed this, and I'm like, oh my God, man, you just proved that this guy told the truth, which is bizarre, bro.
Crazy as hell that he would do that, because I was like, oh man, it's got to be something that Punk didn't say.
Right.
And then they had the Ariel Helwani interview and the video. Somebody put it together, and it's literally word for word the exact exchange.
Word, bro. Yep. And that's why it's like, I mean, like, that's my biggest issue. If there would have been something that, like, oh my God, Punk lied and would have made Punk look like a liar, right? You know, I mean, that's one thing. But, I mean, my God, bro, when you're playing this and all it's doing is backing up Punk's story, that's bizarre, bro.
Very, very strange. Like, why the need to play it? I heard a bunch of guys, like, and obviously you saw Tony Schiavone's reaction after they played it.
Right.
He had, like, his head down in his hands. But I heard the Bucks said it's not a good idea to play it, even though obviously they played it up as if it was a great idea because that's the storyline. But, apparently Tony was the one that was really pushing it. He like had to play it for some reason.
I can't understand that, bro. And on top of that, what makes it even worse than that, John, was this was the footage that, remember, he said his life was in danger.
Yes.
Bro, yes. Freaking Punk, like literally Punk is 10 feet from him. And there's the table at the gorilla position between them. So not only are you proving that Punk told the absolute truth, bro, now you look like a pussy. Because this is how you were scared for your life. John, I was in a room one-on-one alone with Bill Goldberg where he pulled the chair this far from mine, turned the chair around, and was this far from my face. And giving me this. And it was just him and I in the room. And this freaking dude is going to say he was afraid for his life from what we saw on that tape? Are you out of your freaking mind, bro?
Not a good look at all. I even forgot about that part, and I saw people were posting, how did he fear for his life? It's like, oh my God, I forgot he said that in that moment, he feared for his life. Man, I know Punk is in a better place now. He's in WWE. He's making, you know. He's the big star, but it's just crazy to think, like, man, if he wanted to, he could, off that tape, you could sue him, be like, well, he's lying, fear for his life.
Absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
Either he's the biggest pussy ever or he's lying.
Yeah. But man, I swear, it's funny.
And did you see the crowd, by the way? Did you see the crowd, by the way?
What crowd?
After they showed the footage?
No, I didn't watch it in real time. I didn't watch it in real time. No.
Okay. When the Bucks came out later on in the night, the crowd was chanting for CM Punk.
That's a total backfire, bro. And like I said, I mean, that's funny that your buddy asked the question, because, bro, if I would have done this, forget about it. Like, I would have been the stupidest ass on the face of the planet, bro. But, you know, their beloved Tony can do nothing wrong.
Crazy. Absolutely, yeah. Crazy. Just to talk about for a second, Cody Rhodes to WWE WrestleMania, big moment. Yeah. Are you now a Cody crybaby? Is that what I heard? Is that what?
No, I'm not a Cody crybaby by any means, but I did admit, because I'm like that, bro. Like, I'm going to always be honest with you. He got me at the end, bro. The whole story got me at the end. They played that out perfectly, John. And, you know, when all was said and done, they got me. They got me at the end. And I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm not ashamed to say that at all. That was a picture perfect finish. They really built that match like a big fight feel. I hadn't seen something like that in a very, very long time. And by the time that match was over, they emotionally brought me into it. Bro, my only problem with Cody Rhodes is, and I've said this a million times, I just think the guy's a heel. Bro, if he were a heel character, I'd be a huge fan of his. I'd be a huge fan of his. I just, if I'm right, I always put my writer's hat on. If I'm writing, bro, that guy ain't a baby face. He's a heel. That's my only issue.
It does seem like the crowd is very behind him, though. He sold all that merch.
Yeah.
For WrestleMania weekend. Do you put any credence to that? Or you just think the characters?
Let's be honest about the merch, bro. Like, I'm sure it was a thing where I was the night when Cody Rhodes is, you know, finished this story. I'm sure it was that type of thing, which is, I mean, bro, you're buying the merch for Cody. Don't get me wrong, but you're also buying the merch that, you know, you were at WrestleMania and, you know, you were there for a historic night. So take nothing away from Cody, but there was a lot more to selling all that merch. But God bless him, bro. The guy made a crap load of money, and like, great for him, man.
What did you see that made you love Cody? Was it Mania, him winning, or was it the video package the night after?
One love. One love. Where are you getting love from now, Joe? Wait a minute.
I know you had this long tweet about it. I don't know if it was love.
He got me. What love? What love, John? What love? No, bro. The storytelling in that match and the way they staggered everybody out. It was perfect. Bro, I said I got no problem saying this. The finish of that match, I think, was better than anything I ever booked in my career. I got no problem saying that, bro. It was to perfection. But what I also said was, what about tomorrow night, bro? Because, John, every production meeting after a pay-per-view, like WrestleMania, Vince would start off the production meeting putting everybody over. And what a great show, and thanking everybody. And then he'd say, but that was last night. So that Monday after Raw, bro, in my opinion, is the biggest show of the year. And I feel they absolutely dropped the ball and went right back to what we can expect. So, you know, Triple H has to figure out what's the Paul Levesque era, bro? Is the Paul Levesque era, you hit a home run? Night two of WrestleMania with a great finish where you even captivated Vince Russo? Or is the Paul Levesque era Monday Night Raw still sucks? Like, which one is it, bro?
Yeah, it'd be interesting because who's Cody feuding with going forward? Like, what's next here? Usually, you know, we should know right now. Or you
think, bro, to me, the logical thing, you know, and I'm all about continuity, bro. The logical thing to me would have been Seth Rollins, because Seth can turn around and say, bro, I lost my title because I decided to be your shield. And I decided to have you your back. And I went into my WrestleMania match totally physically effed up. You owe me a shot at that title. I mean, that's what I would have done. But if, you know, Seth is going to, you know, take time off, whatever they're going to do with Seth, bro, I have no idea. You know, it's going to be Cody's cutting a promo, John, and then they just randomly hit somebody's music. You know, that's what it's going to be.
I guess Seth Rollins is injured. I guess the knee injury. So he might be out for a little bit. So maybe that's kind of why Seth Rollins isn't going to be the next challenger due to an injury. But obviously The Rock can't be the next challenger either. Right. He's going to be filming a movie.
They're going to hit somebody's music, bro. That and Bronson Reed is going to come out, or some Gunther is going to come out, or it's going to be something like that, bro.
Yeah, just curious, kind of what's next? Obviously, that's the big thing. What do you do next? You just
I would have had, bro, like, I swear to God, first of all, I would have never took the title off of Gunther. That is an absolute joke. That is an absolute travesty. What I would have done, bro, was I would have had Gunther forfeit the Intercontinental title because he wanted to go for Cody's belt. That's what I would have done. But now, you know, bro, you could have Gunther come out and challenge Cody, but bro, you just lost to freaking Sami Zayn. You know?
Yep. Didn't like that. That was the only thing. The match was good. Yeah. I just didn't like and if he's going to win, it should have been really fluky or something. But I just didn't think Gunther should have lost.
Bro, that was one of the things in wrestling, John. You know, you hear this all the time. You know what I'm talking about, where they decide to reward somebody because they've been a good soldier and working really hard. No, bro, not against Gunther. You don't reward him against a guy that's money. But that's what they did, bro, and that was totally unbelievable to me.
To me, that was the only kind of booking, maybe misstep. I feel like the tag match was booked greatly.
I agree.
The main event was booked perfectly.
I agree.
So I feel like the only thing I was like, oh, the only thing I didn't like about the weekend was Gunther. Like, no offense. I mean, Sami, no, people like him. Sami Zayn was like, beating Gunther and straight up like that? It's like, no way.
Yeah, I agree with you on all of those things, John. I thought the tag team match was laid out beautifully. The Money in the Bank was done beautifully, the main event. And then, like I said, bro, then we get to Monday Night Raw. We got Cody and Rock for 45 minutes. And then the first match is somebody from NXT. Like, really, really, bro? Like, really? That's what you got after that WrestleMania, man? Come on, man.
I know we're going to miss The Rock too. I mean, he's been great for 3 months here. So we're going
to, bro, I swear to God, John, I can tell you firsthand, you know, John, like I've always said based on my experience, and I did a whole show about this the other day, bro, nobody is ever bigger than the wrestling business. And if there were ever two times, if there were ever two times, bro, since I've been watching from like 1971, there were maybe two times when somebody became bigger than the wrestling business. Number one was, without a shadow of a doubt, your boy Hulk Hogan. There was a point where you could say Hulk was bigger than the wrestling business. And, bro, arguably, maybe Austin's run.
Yep.
But this time around, freaking Rock was so much bigger than the wrestling business. And I'll tell you why I tell you this, John. Bro, I saw my business boom. My business, more subscriptions, more people signing on to YouTube, more people following me on Twitter. I literally saw a spike in russosbrand.com, and I'm watching this dude and I'm like, bro, right now this dude is bigger than the business, man. What he came in and did for a month, John, like you can't even put a price tag on that, bro.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. I think he just got a $10 million bonus.
Yeah, I saw that.
Good for him, though.
Yeah, good for him, man. Good for him, bro. Hey, listen, man, I'm all for people making money, bro. Seriously.
Now, speaking of The Rock and speaking of Stone Cold Steve Austin, topic at hand today, we're going all the way back to 1999, WrestleMania 15, which, of course, was March 28th, 1999, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the first Union Center, 20,276 in attendance, the tagline, the raging climax, the pay-per-view buy rate, 800,000. Now, interesting to note that 800,000 is just North America. They don't have, I guess they didn't really have the global numbers for that. So if you really want to go globally, I'm sure it did over a million. I mean, it's just crazy, but 800,000 just in North America alone for that WrestleMania. Crazy. I was there, first row for this one. So it was great. Boys to Men were there, you know, singing beforehand. WrestleMania 15, it's huge. It's Rock. It's Austin in the main event. You're the head booker. When you look back and you think about it.
I want to ask you a question, though, before I hate to interrupt you before I forget. Yep. Did you wind up selling your tickets?
No. So I had them sold for double the money. So me and my buddy go, double the money. We got to take it. So we took the offer. The guy made an excuse. He couldn't pay me, like a deadbeat guy. I didn't know because he had good feedback. So I was like, this guy's definitely going to pay. Never paid. So somebody made me an offer. It wasn't enough. And another guy made me another offer. Wasn't enough. I was like, if I can't get double again, we should just go. And my buddy was like, yeah, let's just go. So we went, and it was awesome.
Okay. I was curious.
Just real quickly, because I mentioned this to somebody before, but we went into a suite, like, just because it was right behind our seats. They never kicked us out. We got free food and beer
all night. Good for you, man. That's awesome.
and we had good seats from the suite. So I was like, wow, thank God we didn't sell the tickets. I was like, this is awesome. Free. I mean, we're spending hundreds of dollars or getting hundreds of dollars.
Was there a lot of people in the suite? You just kind of got lost in the shuffle or what?
No, we were the first person sitting there. So I think people thought it was my suite. It was funny. There was probably about 10 people or so in it. It was one of the smaller suites, but they had the beer, they had the food, they had the popcorn, they had the whole setup.
God, that's awesome, man. Good for you, bro.
Yeah, the waitress came up to us and she's like, and we didn't want to make eye contact. We're like, shit, she's going to kick us out. And she goes, what'd you guys want to eat? And we're like, what? And she goes, and she listed the stuff that was free. And then she goes, if you want extra, like the pork or whatever, you have to pay for it. But she goes, this, and this is free. So I'm like, I'll take a cheesesteak. My buddy's like, I'll take a grilled chicken sandwich. Like, we're just ordering.
Oh,
and then she goes,
man.
By the way, she goes, the beer cooler's behind you. Like, so it was awesome. So we just stayed.
Oh, my God. And nobody ever found you out throughout the whole show. That's awesome, bro. That is awesome.
The security guard came up to us. We're like, crap. We're like, oh, crap. And he goes, hey, guys, best seat in the house, right? We're like, yeah. Like, he didn't.
Was this day two?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Good for you, man. That sounds awesome. That sounds awesome.
And it was warmer, and not that we needed it, but there was a heater in the suite. So, I mean, it was like, it was nice. I mean, it was really cool. So thank God we didn't end up selling the tickets. Thank God that guy was a deadbeat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, WrestleMania 15, do you know Rock, Austin, like leading into it? This is going to be huge. This is going to be like kind of the biggest Mania to date. Are you sensing that going into this Mania? Because you guys are on fire in 99.
Oh, yeah, bro. I just, you know, the build leading up to it and just the storytelling. And, bro, like very rarely do you have two guys that are this hot at the same time. You know what I'm saying? And very rarely do you have a split crowd. I mean, you usually have a baby face and a heel. And where we were booking Rock as a heel, you know, people back then loved the Rock. So, man, you had two guys that were super over, perhaps at the peak of their careers. I don't know how often you've had that, bro, throughout history. You know what I mean? But yeah, bro, we knew it was going to be a huge pay-per-view.
So before we kind of get into it, I got a couple questions here. What was Mick, this is just random questions. I don't even know if you'll know the answer to it, but these are just questions that I got that came in. What was Vince McMahon's reaction to Michael Cole accidentally spoiling the finish for the Austin Rock match on the Home Shopping Network live during the pay-per-view? Do you remember that at all?
I don't remember that till seeing that years later. It was not a big deal then. I mean that I could tell you. It's not like somebody came up to me and said, "Oh my God, Vince, did you hear what Michael Cole said?" It was not an issue then. I heard about that years and years later, bro. Like, I didn't even know about it. So it definitely wasn't an issue back then. Unless, you know, bro, this was always Bruce Pritchard's role. Unless Bruce smartened Vince up and Vince, you know, had a one-on-one with Michael Cole that I didn't even know about. But I didn't even know about this, bro.
Okay. Also, why did you switch? We'll get into the match at the time, but initially Billy Gunn and the Road Dog Jesse James were going for different titles. Jesse James was going for the Hardcore and Billy was going for the Intercontinental. Why did you decide to switch and have Billy go for the Hardcore and Road Dogg go for the Intercontinental? Do you remember why you switched them?
Who were their opponents?
So it's Holly, Billy Gunn, and Al Snow for the Hardcore title. And then for the Intercontinental title, Goldust, Ken Shamrock, and Val Venus. So a three-way and a four-way.
Bro, the only thing I could think of is Patterson was there then. Pat Patterson was still there laying out matches. The only thing I could think of, bro, is, you know, what they thought the better match was. You know what I'm saying? Like, which one of those guys would have worked best with those opponents? I think that's probably the way they looked at it, bro, because it didn't matter. And, bro, I bet you, too, there was probably some feedback from the talent themselves. Of you know, which match was more suitable for them. Because, bro, at the time, both guys were over. You know, the Outlaws were over. And that's the idea, bro. They're so over as a team. But if you split them, bro, now you're taking that one match and you're making it two matches. So I'm sure a lot of the talk, bro, was the chemistry of who they were in there with.
So
that comes down, bro. That comes down to a lot. Because I'll be honest with you, John, like, I always wrote this like as a casual fan, bro, and I never looked at that part of it like chemistry between wrestlers. What I always looked at was, as a fan, what was the most appealing match to me? But bro, the boys, really, the chemistry they have with somebody, that really, really does come into play. And, you know, bro, a lot of times, you know, Vince would say to me, "Well, Vince, it's a better match if it's these two." You know what I'm saying, bro? Because I just always looked at marquee. But the boys always wanted to make sure that they were going to go in there and have a great match.
So beforehand, obviously, we have Sunday Night Heat. There's a couple matches. Jacqueline with Terry Reynolds defeated Ivory with D'Lo Brown in 1 minute and 30 seconds. Kind of, you know, wow. Nothing really quick. It's short and sweet, quick. Nothing really going on there. But next is a battle royal on Sunday Night Heat to determine the number one contenders for the WWF Tag Team Championship, which is held by Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett. So whoever wins this battle royal faces Jarrett and Owen Hart later on for the tag titles on WrestleMania. So in this match, crazy, you had Public Enemy, who was, you know, obviously from Philly, very popular in that area for sure, and maybe popular elsewhere too, you know, obviously pretty well-known tag team, but also LOD, Hawk and Animal, are in this match. So you have them. So as a fan, I'm thinking, okay, Public Enemy might win because of the Philly pop, but LOD probably will win because then Owen and Jeff Jarrett will have somebody to go over and make, you know, they'll elevate themselves by beating LOD later on. But no, D'Lo Brown and Test win it by eliminating Draws and Godfather as the last two guys. Match goes about 4 minutes, 30 seconds or so. It's a short battle royal. Basically only 20 guys are in it. But why D'Lo and Test?
Bro, I'll tell you again. I just told you at the top of this show, bro, when somebody gets rewarded.
Yeah.
Bro, when you go back and you look at the Attitude Era, I swear to you, bro, and you know, he is still a friend of mine to this day, but that's not why I'm saying this. One of the most unheralded players was D'Lo. Without a shadow, he was a workhorse, bro. He was in so many matches with the Nation because he was one of the better workers, and I don't remember specifically, but I can probably tell you that was a reward to D'Lo to get him on WrestleMania for all the work he had done leading up to it. I mean that's what I assume, because bro, let me tell you this. Public Enemy was never going to go over because, right, like Vince would not like these guys. Legion of Doom, bro, you had all those Hawk problems leading up to that. He wasn't going to reward Hawk, you know, no question about it. But if you really wanted to, you know, create a spot for somebody on WrestleMania, it would have been D'Lo. So that makes sense to me.
Even Tess too. That's like a weird.
Yeah, but I think it was just because Tess was with D'Lo. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. I think it was more for D'Lo, if you ask me.
From a fan perspective, especially like nostalgia's perspective too. Man, we were deflated. After the show, we were deflated because we're like, what the hell?
I get it, bro. But a lot of that, you know, that's why I just told you, bro, about Sammy being rewarded. Bro, a lot of that has to do with backstage politics, man. It just does. And, you know, the casual fan may be looking at this like, what the F, but not really understanding why things are done. And a lot of that had to do with the Hawk Heat, you know, without a shadow of a doubt.
Good video package to open up WrestleMania. And the first match, Hardcore Holly versus Billy Gunn versus Al Snow. Like we mentioned, a triple threat match for the Hardcore Championship. Hardcore Holly gets the win in 7 minutes. He pinned Al Snow. And this one, Gunn did look good. It looked like he was going to get the win. And Holly kind of snuck in and quickly covered Snow. And he gets the win. What do you think of your Hardcore Holly being the new Hardcore Champion?
It makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah. Holly. Yeah, no, that again, bro, reward. Reward. You know, I mean, everybody loved Bob Holly, bro. And man, keep in mind, it started with that spark plug. What was Sparky Plug? Was that his name? Yeah. What was the name? Yep. Oh my God.
Thurman,
bro.
Sparky Plug. Yeah.
What was it? Thurman?
Thurman, Sparky Plug, Holly. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. So he had been there for a really long time, bro. It's WrestleMania. It's the biggest night. Billy is already a tag team champion. No, he's not. He's not tag team champion, but him and Road Dogg are already way over.
Yep.
Al Snow doesn't need a belt with his gimmick. So that makes all the sense in the world to put the title on him.
Is this a Sparky Plug? Is that one of the things where he told Vince in a meeting that he, you know, was a welder and he fixed cars and then Vince like, you're a race car driver.
I'm sure.
You know, is that one of those things?
Between him, Bruce and Pat, bro, one of them came up with that.
That's like a Smash, Barry Darso. Everyone's like, why the hell were you were the repo man? Why? He goes, oh man, I made the mistake once of telling Vince I used to repossess cars.
That's it. That's all it takes, bro.
Like, they get this stuck in his head, like, you were a plumber? You're going to be a plumber.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. So bad. Some of that stuff is crazy. But next up, of course, the aforementioned D'Lo Brown to test with Ivory. Get their tag title shot versus Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett, of course, with Deborah. Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett get the win. Short match, though, for the most part. Only went about 4 minutes or so. Wasn't crazy long. Like, as far as Owen and Jeff Jarrett going over, obviously they should. But is that anything to it, like the shorter matches here? Because it just seemed like...
The only thing I would say, bro, is first of all, man, you talk about a great working tag team. My God, when you say Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett, like, what? Yeah, who's awesome. Better than that? Bro, the only thing I would say about that is maybe it was to protect Test a little bit. Maybe at that point, Test was a little green. Not D'Lo. I mean, D'Lo could wrestle with Owen and Jeff all day long. Maybe at that point, bro, Test was a little green. I mean, how long was Test around at that time?
Not long at all.
That's what it is then. Yeah. They definitely wanted to protect Test in this match.
And then you kind of, D'Lo takes the pin, but kind of protects D'Lo too, because Jarrett rolls him up after PMS. Ivory is out there, but PMS of Terry Reynolds and Jackie get involved, and Deborah gets involved, and D'Lo gets distracted, of course, by Deborah. So, I mean, they make D'Lo look, or you guys made D'Lo look good even in defeat.
Yeah, everybody's protected. Yeah. That's what I talk about, bro. Every time we book the match, you always got to look at how does everybody come out of this? Okay, bro, because you got to keep everybody strong. That's why when you talk about, bro, I hate to go back, but when I'm watching Gunther and Sami Zayn, my first thought when this match is over was, what does this do for Gunther? I mean, there's no positive at all. This guy's kicking his backside for 20 straight minutes. Then Sami Zayn has a little bit of a comeback and goes over. You kill Gunther, bro. That's why Pat Patterson was so great. Because, bro, in all of these matches, man, you've got to make sure everybody is protected. Even when Rock beats Cody with the people's elbow, you know Cody's going over the next night. So Rock gets a big W. People forget all about that when Cody goes over. But you know, that's why when you say D'Lo was protected, and I'm sure Tess was protected because he was a little bit green, you got to protect everybody in these matches, bro.
And Cody took three finishes in a row, the top guy, Roman, and then Rock's two finishers. So
right. And that gets Roman over. Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yep. So then we have very, very interesting, maybe the second most memorable part of the show, Butterbean versus Bart Gunn. Mm. This is the Brawl for All match. Mm. Of course, this is because Bart Gunn won Brawl for All. Is this, it's almost like a reward, but almost like a non-reward. Like when Elaine gets invited to Sue Ellen Mischke's wedding, it's like a non-vite. It's a non-invitation, right?
Bro, you know, John, I got to be honest with you, bro. I've heard so many things about the Brawl for All that have been absolute bullshit. 100% absolute bullshit. First of all, bro, none of these things were worked. There was no storyline. This was going to be Dr. Death storyline. All of that is bullshit, bro. The guys, first of all, bro, I had nothing to do with who was in the Brawl for All. That was all through, you know, Bruce Pritchard set all that up. And it was because these guys got a healthy payday. So, you know, Bruce offered them, listen, this is what we're doing. You guys get X amount of dollars to be in it. If you win it, you get X amount. So the guys decided if they wanted to do this or not. It was totally up to them, right? So we didn't even know who the field was going to be. We didn't even know, bro. So then finally we get who the field is going to be. None of this shit was fixed that Dr. Death was going to be the guy. Bro, JR was championing Dr. Death because they were best friends, and JR really believed Dr. Death was going to go through everybody. That's a shoot. Nobody saw Bart Gunn. Nobody. We're looking at The Godfather. We're looking at Bradshaw. So, bro, I am telling you, by the time we got to the Butterbean match and by how good Bart Gunn looked in the Brawl for All, we, along with Bart Gunn, really felt that he could challenge Butterbean. We didn't think Bart Gunn was going to get his freaking ass kicked. And then, bro, you know, what happens is Bart Gunn goes in there and gets his ass kicked. And you know, bro, Bart explained to me all the matches leading up to Butterbean, it was a brawl. It was like if he got into a bar fight with somebody. Well, bro, then when he had Butterbean and he had time to train, Mark Mero's Golden Glove trainer, Mark Rinaldi, trained Bart Gunn as a boxer. Now, Bart, we're going to turn you into a boxer. And Bart, he told me this himself. Everything that got him there, he completely threw that out the window. And Rinaldi convinced him to box Butterbean. And that's why he got his ass kicked. None of this was a work. None of this was predetermined. And none of this was set up because anybody thought Butterbean was going to kill Bart Gunn. That is all bullshit, bro. That is all coming from people, even people within the WWE who didn't have a clue and did not know.
I asked Butterbean about this, and he said as soon as he saw Bart was going to box him like a boxer, he said he was screwed. He was actually not worried, but he said beforehand, you never know. He goes, this guy, he's not fighting like a style. He's just brawling. He right. says, so you never know. He goes, he's going to be unpredictable. It's going to be hard to knock him out, blah, blah. He said as soon as he came out and like he was just going to straight up box him, he said, I knew I was going to knock him out.
And that's seconds. What and Bart seconds, said exactly too. That. I mean, that was exactly what Bart said. He said, I should have stuck with my game plan, but none of this shit, the people, like, bro, the idea of we're gonna put Bart Gunn in a match where we know he's gonna get mauled and killed, that's freaking ridiculous. He works for us, Butterbean. This is a one and done, you know. So yes, bro, we 100% thought he had a fighting chance against Butterbean.
Vinny Pazienza is out there as the special referee. Butterbean, of course, knocks him out infamously in about 35 seconds, and it's all said and done. The crazy thing is, like you said, like, man, it could have been avoided if he just would have stuck to his initial game plan, just being like wild and wacky and unpredictable and just brawling. Yeah.
I mean, when you watch his other fights, bro, because I just finished watching the Brawl for All for my Attitude Era show, bro.
Yep.
Bro, those punches came out of nowhere. Like, just, and the guys were like out cold. But yep. we never got to see that in the final match, bro.
What would you have done? Let's just say, crazily enough, let's say Bart Gunn actually won and he knocked out Butterbean or he beat Butterbean. What would you have done with Bart?
Bro, here was the problem I had as a writer. This was the problem I had. And I've talked to Bart about this. And I even apologized to Bart about this. I really did, bro, because part of me feels like I dropped the ball with Bart, and I know Bart thinks that. I know Bart thinks he won this Brawl for All and got none out of it, which is not true, bro, because he went on to Japan to make a shitload of money, which I don't think would have happened without the Brawl for All. But, bro, here's what it always came down to, John. Bart was never good on the mic. So, yep. Bro, you're going to put him in a program with Austin? And then what happens when they both have a microphone in their hand? That was always the problem with Bart. Bro, you got to be a great worker, and you got to be a great performer and an entertainer. You got to have both, bro. And if that entertainment part lacks, it's going to hurt you. And Bart was just never a good promo guy, bro. And at the end of the day, that's what really hurt him.
Now, Pazienza beats up the San Diego Chicken after the match, which was, you know, which was kind of funny, but in, you know, a nice way. But man, Butterbean, that's one of the most memorable moments of that WrestleMania, obviously outside of Austin and Rock. But man, whew.
I got to go back and watch that. I haven't seen that.
I mean,
in a long
this
time.
Guy, I mean, he's knocked out some great boxers. I mean, this guy can knock out anybody. I mean, if the story is true, Tyson didn't really want to fight him either. Not that it's in his weight class, really. But I mean, a lot of guys that did not want to fight him because of his punching power. So Butterbean is no joke. I mean, he's a scary, scary guy.
Oh, so God. Yeah.
Next up, Mankind versus Big Show. Interestingly enough, the storyline here is the winner would be the special guest referee for the main event. So that's the whole thing, how basically McMahon wants his guy that he brought in, the Big Show, who made it the special surprise appearance at St. Valentine's Day Mask. Remember, he came up from underneath the ring, surprised it, and obviously that was Vince versus Steve Austin. He picks up Austin, throws him through the cage, and Austin, luckily enough, wins, and he, you know, escapes by the skin of his teeth from the 7'3" monster. Now Vince thinks, okay, that didn't work. I'm going to have Big Show wrestle him. Austin beats him in a match, which I don't know if I necessarily agree should have happened so soon, but he gave him 5 chair shots and a stunner, beats him in the match. So then Vince thinks, okay, I'll have Big Show versus Mankind. The winner of this match, who he thinks will be the Big Show, will be the main event of Rock Austin later on in the night. What do you think about the use of the Big Show?
Well, I love that. I love the stakes on this match, bro. Have we ever seen that ever before or since? Where we don't even know who the referee is going to be for the main event until that night. Ooh, that's great. I love that. Good, yeah. I don't remember that at all, bro. But I absolutely love that shit. But you know, bro, again, that was just how hot Austin was, because you got to remember, bro. We're bringing in Big Show from WCW. And, bro, you see that a lot today it happened with Cody. We brought Cody in from AEW, and now he's the champion. Bro, that rarely happens. You know that, bro. Yep. You bring somebody in from WCW, the first thing Vince is going to do is he's going to see if they do business. That's the first thing he was going to do. So that was the test, that we're going to put Austin over on Paul White and we're going to see how Paul White. Bro, they did that every single time. That's how they did it.
Now, thing is here with Big Show, obviously that plays into the fact too that he loses to Austin beforehand. It's kind of like, oh, this guy's obviously Austin used 5 chair shots, but that just shows you he's a WCW guy, WWF guy's going over. But here, The match not that great. It goes 7 minutes. Mankind gets a win by DQ. Big Show throws Mankind through chairs. He's using chairs as weapons. So obviously Earl Hebner has to disqualify him, which then of course makes Vince McMahon irate, because he's like, he runs out. He goes, "You're screwing up my main event for later. We had a plan. What are you doing?" Then Big Show grabs Vince by the throat, then thinks better of it. Then Vince yells at him again and slaps him. And then Big Show punches him and walks away. And Vince obviously gets knocked out. What do you think about that, though? Because it kind of came off a little flat, because it's a DQ finish. You know, it's just like, okay, Mankind wins by DQ. Big Show beats him up, but then beats up Vince as well.
It depends. How Mick was used in the main event.
Well, I guess we'll get to that later. He does come out and count the three for Austin.
That's what it really comes down to, bro. How we use Mick as a guest referee in that main event. So I mean, I would have to hear that first, and then I would be able to tell you.
It just came off a little flat. It's just like, wow, DQ finish. I thought we were going to get something big here, and it just kind of fell a little flat. But obviously Vince came out, the crowd got back into it, and then Big Show teasing that he's not no longer with Vince. Do you like that? And almost immediately turning him babyface for not getting the job.
Yeah, and that's probably why we did it. Because, bro, a lot of times, man, it really comes down to this, bro. Like, again, John, these are the things behind the scenes that people don't see. Bro, a lot of times, man, you'll get a big heel or a big baby face or somebody get injured and they're going to be out for a while or whatever. Bro, now all of a sudden you got an uneven roster. Now all of a sudden, bro, you're forced to flip somebody baby face or flip somebody heel, because now the matchups are all out of sync. That happens a lot, bro, and that is never really spoken about or taken into consideration. But when you have a big player get hurt, and I don't know what was going on at the time, or if somebody wanted time off or whatever the case may be, sometimes, bro, you got to flip somebody just to even out the balance of power.
So now we don't know where Big Show lies. Obviously, he's not going to be with Vince any longer, but Mankind goes on, and he'll be the referee for the main event of Austin The Rock later on, which is not going to sit well with Vince, obviously. You know, he's pissed. Then we have the Four Corners elimination match for the WWF Intercontinental Championship. Road Dogg versus Goldust with Blue Meanie and Ryan Shamrock. Ken Shamrock, Val Venus as well. Road Dogg gets the win in about 10 minutes. He's the new Intercontinental Champion, pinning Goldust last to win it. What do you think about that? Road Dogg is your new Intercontinental Champion.
Was this a good match?
From what I'm remembering and when I rewatched, it wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. It was just there. I don't know. For some reason, every match so far, too, all kind of falling a little flat. Really? I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know why. It was strange.
Yeah, it's very strange. So they're not tag champs at this moment. So he's the Intercontinental Champion. Hey, bro, listen, I've got so much. I swear to God, John. this is why, like, when somebody doesn't get television time, when somebody is in a shitty storyline, when somebody isn't getting any exposure, this is why I always say, bro, you got to put some of that on the talent. Because, John, I swear to you, I remember when we were doing nothing with Brian James. And, bro, every single time I would walk into the building, he would run up to me immediately. Vince, you got to do something with me. Vince, you got to, like, every single time. And, bro, I got to tell you what this did. Every time I sat down to write a show or there was a spot or I needed something, I always had Brian James in the back of my mind because he was always coming up to me. So, like, I was always thinking about him. And then, bro, I got to tell you, I was the biggest mark in the world. The roadie was hysterical. Him playing that role for Jeff was absolutely hysterical. So, bro, this was a guy that was like Jesse James. Like, he went from nothing to a huge, big-time player. And a lot of that, bro, was as a tag team. So this was the first time, bro, he won a belt on his own. Let's see how he could stand as the Intercontinental champion. Because again, bro, a lot of this shit is if a guy worked hard for it and a guy deserved it. And that's what it was in this case.
It's just interesting that the Road Dogg wins that match, but he was super over. So you kind of can't complain. He was super over at that point. So
yeah. Yeah.
Now, here we go with a little bit of the swerve, bro, as you would love, that you love to say. We have Kane with China. So Kane is kind of with the corporation. China's a heel. She's with the corporation versus Triple H. Kane ends up defeating Triple H via disqualification in 11 minutes, 30 seconds. Okay, match. Nothing great here. Interestingly enough, the Mean Street Posse tries to interfere. China at the end, which caused the DQ, actually turns on Kane, which is necessarily going to turn Kane babyface, Triple H heel, and you think maybe DX is getting back together with China and Triple H, but they're definitely heels. So that's why Kane gets the win. China and Triple H reunite, but as heels, and you think it's DX kind of coming back together. We'll get to maybe another turn later on in the night, but definitely Triple H and China are heels here, and Kane's turning face. So a lot of switches going on here at Mania.
Bro, it's always that. I mean, it's always, bro, you know, the whole idea, man, is you got to constantly keep the audience on their toes, man. They don't know what's going to happen. That's must-see television, bro, when you've got to watch the show because you don't know what's going to happen. We don't want to read about it on the dirt sheet. We want to watch it in real time because we never know what's going to happen. And bro, is... as long as you stay true to the characters and it all makes sense and they act the way the character would act, I miss swerves, bro. They don't happen anymore. I mean, I don't understand that. That was a lot of fun for me. And like I said, as long as it made sense in the writing and as long as it made sense with the character, I love doing that. We never get that anymore, bro.
So then we have the women's championship match. Sable, who is the WWF Women's Champion, defeating Tori in 5 minutes to retain the title. She retains the title because Nicole Bass helped her. This is not a good match, by the way, but Nicole Bass came out.
I was going to ask
and
you.
And helped Sable win. Yeah.
It didn't sound like it was going to be a good match.
No. What's up with Nicole Bass?
Bro, she was such a, you know, she was such a physical, like, specimen, you know, like, my God, bro, if she would have had a match with China, bro, she was such a head case. Like, you know, with, she was having so many issues. I don't even know, like, what they were, because I'm not involved in that part of it, whether it was, you know, she was claiming to be harassed, but oh my God, bro, what a head case. What a mistake, because what I'm looking at is Nicole Bass versus China. That's what I'm looking at. But the way she was, bro, there was just no ever getting there.
So then we have kind of, I guess, maybe the real Triple H heel turn here, because then you see where him and China are lying here. It's Shane McMahon, who is the European champion, comes out with Test, and Briscoe and Patterson defeated X-Pac via pinfall, 8 minutes, 40
seconds.
Was this
Shane's first match?
One of his first matches, yeah. Okay. Yep, yep. Okay. Trained by Dr. Tom, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Shane. So Briscoe and Patterson cheat to try to beat up X-Pac beforehand. There's a lot of interference going on. Test is trying to interfere. When the ref is distracted, Triple H comes in the ring, and you think, because he's DX, and you think DX is getting back together, you think, nope, he turns on X-Pac, gives him the pedigree, and Shane ends up getting the victory here. It's actually probably maybe the second best match on the show. It's actually pretty good. Yeah. But Shane beats X-Pac thanks to Triple H. So now Triple H, China are in the corporation. Kane has to come out as the babyface and help X-Pac and clear the ring of the corporation.
And then they went on to be a tag team, right?
Yes. Yep.
Bro, here's what I remember about this. I remember two things about this vividly. And you know me, John, I don't remember many things vividly. I remember this was a big match. It was WrestleMania. Bro, Shane McMahon wrote this match out on paper.
Wow.
And it was like freaking 10 pages. Okay. And wow. Then, bro, I remember him giving it to X-Pac. And X-Pac was like, are you effing kidding me? Like, even though Shane was the Sun's boss, like, X-Pac could not believe Shane wrote out this whole match like verbatim. And then the second thing I do remember, bro, is standing ovation when he came to the back, Shane. I mean, Shane and X-Pac. I mean, that I remember, bro, vividly. Man, Shane took this shit, bro, so seriously, man. So seriously. And I remember that night, and I remember those two things.
Interesting, though, with all the turns and the Triple H and China now with the corporation. Kane's a babyface. Big Show looks like he's going to be a babyface. A lot of turns for the night, for sure.
But you see, that's what happens, bro. There's a lot of turns for the night. And now, by the time we get to Monday Night Raw, it's a complete reset. You see what I'm saying? Now it's a complete reset. Who's on whose side? Now it's really the fallout of WrestleMania. Bro, I'm watching Raw. You don't hear from Seth Rollins or see him. You don't hear or see from Gunther. You don't hear and see from Roman Reigns. That's not a fallout, bro. Like that, how do we not follow up with what happened at WrestleMania? That's the great thing about this, bro, because now we've totally reshuffled the deck and you're starting a brand new chapter the next night.
Love it. Good idea. Kind of have to turn the page for sure.
Yeah.
With Mania being the ending.
I mean, what did we get this week? Like you said, bro, we don't even know who Cody's next opponent is. All we know is Rock said, I'm going home now. Well, I guess that means we don't have to watch anymore.
Yeah, well, you got to do something to keep us watching because Roman is gone for a while now, too.
Right. That's what I'm saying, bro. Yeah. Seriously, you know, but whatever.
Then we have the Hell in a Cell match. The Undertaker with Paul Bearer defeated the Big Boss Man. Hell in a Cell, about 10
minutes.
Man, how
many matches were on this freaking? This is a big card, huh, bro?
10 in total for Mania. Yeah, it's a lot of matches. Yep.
Wow. One night.
Yep. Undertaker gets the win in the Hell in a Cell match. I don't know, not that good, though. For some reason, him and Boss Man, it wasn't working. It was just a weird, weird match. The Brood even comes in at one point. Undertaker gets the pin. Then you hang the Boss Man. I think maybe the most memorable part, you hang him with the noose. What's up with this? Why?
I remember that, bro.
Why'd you do it?
Was this the Ministry Taker?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's why we did it, bro. Just to take that to a next level where, like, Taker would have done anything. But, bro, when you tell me about this match, I totally get it because Undertaker needs a bumping fool in there. He needs a Shawn Michaels in there. You know, he needs a Mick Foley in there. Like when you tell me Undertaker Boss Man, it's not going to be that kind of a match. Cause you know, Boss Man's a big dude, bro. He's not Shawn Michaels. He's not Mick Foley. He was great and he was a great worker, but not that kind of a worker. So this match was probably very difficult for the both of them.
Pretty crazy. He's hung and then they bring the cell up as he's hung. So it's like pretty crazy visual, especially at that point.
Yeah. I don't even remember how we did that.
Yeah, I guess maybe attach something to his outfit. You know, he used to wear the vest. Maybe.
Yeah.
And like, so he goes up as his neck goes up, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I don't even know, but I do remember that.
It's funny. He just gets carried off in a stretcher afterwards. He's not, he's not dead or anything
like
that.
Yeah.
Do you regret it? Larry said to me that this was your darkest storyline. Do you
wait a minute? Is Larry the one who asked about the am I right for AEW?
No, it was a different friend of mine. That was a different friend. Yeah.
He felt this was the darkest storyline.
Yeah, he said, did you regret the hanging? Yeah, no. He said it was very dark.
No, I thought putting Austin and threatening to put Stephanie on the symbol was more darker than this.
Yeah, no. Very, very demonic. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would think, you know.
So before the main event of Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Rock in a no disqualification match for the WWF Championship, Michael Cole announced that JR is going to come out and call the main event. That was pretty cool. Pretty cool. Well, because obviously cool. He was out with the illness. So he came out and did the main event. Funny, AEW still does it to this day. He'll come out and call the main event for a lot of the shows.
Yeah. Man, I saw a picture. I know he's gone through so many health issues. I saw a picture of him yesterday. He looked really thin. But I think he's on the other side of it now. You know, yeah. I mean, I think he got done everything he needed to get done. So, yeah, man, he's just got to get strong again.
So basically, McMahon kind of comes out after, after JR is announced, he's pissed. Michaels comes out and explains that there's going to be no corporate interference, even though it's no DQ. He doesn't want that. And that he's the only one that can kind of pick the referee, not Vince. And obviously it's Mankind, even though he's hurt. We don't know if he's going to make it. He's hurt because Big Show hurt him. So basically what happens is you bring in another ref and Michaels appoints that referee. Of course, what's going to happen later on in the night, there's going to be a ref bump. Of course, McMahon's going to come out and try to interfere. He's going to get beat up, but then he's going to distract Austin. Rock hits him with a low blow. You almost think that Rock's going to win. Austin kicks out. Foley does end up coming out, even though he was hurt earlier in the night, and he ends up after a great match, a nice back and forth, stunners and rock bottoms all over the place. Awesome match. I loved it. Easily best match on the card. Great Mania main event. He counts the 1-3 after I think it was the third stunner, and Austin finally gets the win. But Foley is the one that counts to three, and Vince was crying. They show Vince crying afterwards that Austin won.
Yeah, bro. When you talk about that, bro, like immediately I think of Pat Patterson. I mean, my God, bro, he was he was just the best at laying those things out, man. He would get together with the talent and they would have a conversation and, you know, Austin would give his 2 cents, Rock, Mick, Pat, and then he would just take that and put it all together. I mean, those main events back then never missed, bro. They just never missed.
Austin would eventually get his own belt, the Smoking Skull belt.
I wonder how many of those they sold.
Yeah. And then ends up feuding, of course, continue on a feud with The Rock afterwards, a great feud. But just a weird thing, Austin didn't have the vest. I guess it got lost when it was.
Oh, wow.
So remember, he came out in a T-shirt, which was weird, which was his shirt for the day, which sold, probably a million shirts that night.
That was the one thing about Austin, bro. I swear, man, he's so freaking smart. Every time there was a new shirt, he wore it, man.
Yeah.
He wore his merch on television all the time. All the time, bro.
What do you think about Austin going over? I mean, obviously he needed to, but he defeats The Rock. He wins the WWF Championship. What do you think? The right call, obviously. Right?
Absolutely, bro. He's on fire, man. You can't stop. You can't stop that train. The dude's on fire. That's why I'm saying, I hate to just go back to it, but I mean, my God, how many days in a row was Gunther champion? For what? For him to lose to Sami Zayn? To me, it had to be bigger than that. And Austin's just a runaround train at this point. Bro, plus the fact Rock is so over because of his personality, belt or no belt, it ain't going to matter. The guy's going to stay over, just like you saw him now. So, yeah, it definitely was the right call.
So what do you think overall of this show? Kind of got mixed reviews. To me, the main event saved it. For whatever reason, a lot of the matches felt a little flat or wasn't as good, but outside of Butterbean and Austin.
I'm curious about that, John, because I haven't seen this in a long time, and I always take your word for it because I know you're really a good judge. Yeah, I mean, I'm a little surprised that a lot of the matches were flat. I wonder why that is. I wonder if they put so much stock into the main event. I don't know, bro, but that surprises me.
It almost felt like a lot of manias almost feel that way. Like it's so much and people's focus was so much on Austin, The Rock. Yeah. Everything else was kind of just like background to me. Yeah. That's like when we went there, we were like obsessed with Austin, The Rock going back and forth. Like that was the focus. Maybe that could be it too. Like it was just so much about those two.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I felt too. Like with this past WrestleMania, like that first night, aside from the tag match, it was like, let's just get to the tag match.
Yeah.
I mean, and then 100%. It started like, I know Becky was sick, but like that opening match was like terrible. Yep. And yeah. So yeah, bro. When there's a lot of anticipation in the main event, I think it takes a little bit off of the other matches.
And two, like that, a mistake, you can't start off with that match. And I know Triple H says it's not a perfect science of like the matches, which is kind of maybe an excuse of saying like that match wasn't that good. But yeah, like the second night was better because you had like the hot start with Damian Priest and everything and Drew and Seth are good. So like you got to. Right. I mean, the match order it is important.
Yeah, no, and there is it is easy. There is a way. They should have opened up that match with the ladder match. I mean, that's what they get people hot, all those spots. Now we're ready to go. But especially if Becky was sick.
Yeah.
I mean, if she was sick and not feeling well, bro, do you really want to put her in the opening match? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, no. Yeah. You're right, though. It's not a science, but there is a way to do it for sure. Yeah. So let's wrap it up and head towards the plugs. You follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Vince, what do you got?
Yeah, remember, guys, if you've never been a Patreon member, you can go to patreon.com/RussoTWC right now and get a free week of Russo's brand. No obligation. Just go to patreon.com/RussoTWC.
Also, the Attitude Era, right? Because we're talking Attitude Era.
The Attitude Era show, bro, on russosbrand.com, and you can get your free week. Every 2 weeks, I look at an episode of the Attitude Era and break it down, tell you what was going on behind the scenes at the time. And like I said, you could try that free. If you've never been a Patreon member, just go to patreon.com/RussoTWC.
And just remember, Vince is not booking AEW right now. The lesbian kiss and everything else, that was not Vince. That was Tony Khan. So thank you, everybody out there, for listening. We'll see you right back here next time. Have a good one, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron, and also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother.